Welcome to 24 Hour Expert, where each week we have 24 hours to learn as much as we can about a new topic.
From international spies to how nachos came to be, everything is fair game.
We'll laugh, we'll cry.
We'll cry? I don't think we've cried yet, but hopefully we'll learn something along the way.
Either way, we'll have a lot of fun. Amy.
I just completely forgot to say hi. I was like, yeah, what do you want? Hi, Al.
Okay.
You want to start again?
No, I'm leaving that in. Let these listeners hear how you totally just were like.
But in Zoom world, I acknowledged you. I just didn't say the words out loud. That should count.
So, for podcasts, they need to hear words. Because they don't get to see that you and I are looking at each other.
I apologize. Hi, Al. How's it going?
Good, good, good. Well, you know, previous to this conversation, Amy had to listen to me go on a huge rant about my day. But for the sake of this podcast, it's great. How are you?
This is real life. This is the real life. Days of our lives. I'm fine. I'm good. We're barely holding on, apparently. I just thought I acknowledging you, visually acknowledging you, counted. I realize in this medium it doesn't work, but.
No. So I do have an exciting announcement before we get into this week's episode. I have a friend from high school who hosts a podcast, and Amy and I have been invited to be on that podcast.
I'm very excited.
I'm very excited. So it's called Frenemy Trivia, which I think is hysterical because frenemy is such a funny term to me. But basically how the game works is you start on two teams of two. You play against each other. Then one of those teams is the winning team, but then the two people from that team then have to go head-to-head to actually win the game.
Oh.
So you start off as friends, and then you end as enemies. So, frenemies.
I think it's going to be so much fun. I also just think I want to set the expectations very clearly that this is not something you and I are great at. I think it's going to be a hoot and a half.
No.
I think we're going to bomb at it.
Oh, 100%. No, I think we will have a lot of fun because I've been listening to episodes and it sounds like a lot of fun. And it has an explicit rating, so we're allowed to swear. And after one of the teams loses, you get to stay on and trash talk the other team.
Ooh. I think I'd also be really bad at that, but I'm very excited about the experience.
I'm very excited. I can't wait to do it. I will have to keep everyone posted on what specific date our episode of Frenemy Trivia will air. But Amy and I recorded at the end of April. And then Tim said that it would air sometime in May.
Ooh, I'm looking forward to it.
I'm super excited. Yeah, I'm not good at trivia at all, but I'm just excited to play.
I'm very excited to play. I think it's going to be great.
Yes.
I feel like if it was specific trivia, like when they do office trivia nights or something, we would kill it.
Oh, I'd blow everybody out of the water, yeah.
Generic trivia.
No, and they ask hard questions. So, I mean, I don't want to go on and on too much. We need to get into the actual episode. But just playing along at home, I have not done well.
Well, that's why we're setting the expectations now.
Exactly. The bar is low. And don't expect it to be raised.
Exactly. Exactly. Why don't you tell us what we're talking about for this episode, though?
So this episode of 24 Hour Expert.
We got a Easter egg last week.
Yeah. So we are talking about the American flag.
I didn't see that coming. Out of all of the things that Miley Cyrus could be an Easter egg for, not that.
So I guess it was a very obscure, barely Easter egg because the song is Party in the USA. And we're talking mostly about, we're going to talk about some other flags, but mostly we're going to talk about the American flag. So the USA.
We're going to talk about how there's 50 stars for each state. and how there's 13 stripes for the original 13 colonies, and Betsy Ross made it.
That is kind of incorrect.
Why?
Oh, well, I guess you'll learn on this episode.
All right, well, that was practice for trivia, and clearly I am bombing already.
You got the description of our current flag correct.
Right, well, yeah, okay.
But we'll get into it, but spoiler alert, there's debate whether or not Betsy Ross actually created the
fraud. Shenanigans.
Right.
Well, all right, you better tell me about it.
I will. So this is actually a topic that I picked, which might seem like a random one. And Amy, I don't know if you know this about me, but it is a really uncharacteristic, I guess, pet peeve of mine when I see people who are improperly displaying and or taking care of their American flags.
I have known you my whole life, literally. Never would have guessed it. Ever. Not even kind of.
Like I said, it's a very weird, very uncharacteristic. Like, if you know me in real life, it's like, when have you ever thought about American flag, Allie? I mean, I don't mean that to be mean against myself. I care about our country. But, like, it's a weird quirk. I don't
proper
know.
Proper flag protocol and was not on my bingo card for the year.
Yeah. So I think where this started, and or at least where I became aware of the fact that there are proper protocols mm-hmm. around the American flag is in Girl Scouts. And my troop one time was selected to carry the American flag in a local parade. And I forget what the process internally, but there was some way that within our group of girls who actually decided who got to carry the flag. It was not me that got to carry the flag, but the person who was chosen, they had her wear the gloves to hold mm-hmm. the pole, and she kept not paying attention and was too busy talking and socializing and kept dropping the flag and kept touching the ground, which is not supposed to happen. So over and over, our troop leader kept saying, get it off the ground, get it off the ground, to the point that it happened so many times that the troop leader basically threatened her and said, if you let it touch the ground one more time, I'm letting somebody else carry this. Like, you cannot let people see you have this flag on the ground. So that's the first instance I can remember being like, huh, there's actual rules and regulations about how a flag should be treated. Obviously, not everybody follows them, which I know because that's now a weird pet peeve.
Youth Allie really took that and ingrained it in her personality, turns out.
At least, like, in my mind. I mean, it's not something I think about. And I'm not somebody who displays an American flag at my home.
But there's protocol for that, too, to, like, have it lit and put it at half mast and all of that. It's a commitment to do that.
Exactly. Which is why I don't, because I would not do it wrong, and I don't want the commitment of it. But I only really ever think about this when I see somebody not doing it correctly. Mm-hmm. And recently, I have seen people not do it correctly, which is how now we got to where we are. So, long story long, today we're talking about the American flag.
That was actually a really great introduction. Some of our listeners are not going to agree because they like us to get to the point. Too bad it's our show.
I mean, minus the frenemy stuff, it's on topic.
We learned a little bit about your trauma today. I like it.
I don't know about trauma, but yeah. Weird pet peeve of mine that nobody saw coming. Okay. So, like Amy mentioned, anyone who's not familiar with the current American flag, it is 13 horizontal stripes that alternate between red and white in the canton. So that's what the square in the upper left corner is called. It is a blue background with 50 white stars on it. The stars alternate between rows of 6 and 5.
Nice.
But first, let's flash way back in history to when we first started using flags to symbolize groups, nations, things like that. So, nobody knows the exact origins of flags, but we do know that they date back as far as the 11th century BC in China, and that they were used by other ancient civilizations such as the Egyptians and Romans. During the medieval period, silk from China allowed people such as the Arabs and Norse to develop flags that led to the creation of personal banners for rulers and other important people. And flags began to be regularly used on the ships for identification and communication, which we touched on briefly in our pirate episode. In the 18th century, nationalism around the world meant that common people began to regularly identify themselves with nation states and their symbols, which included flags.
It's like the best branding ever.
Yeah. So as nations became more organized, we started using things to unite us within our nations. Originally, flags representing a country would generally be the personal flag of its rulers. However, over time, the practice of using personal banners was left behind in favor of something that had significance to the entire nation. A lot of these were primarily used in the context of identifying ships and what country ships were from. Flags started being used in the military and navy around the 18th century. With the Age of Revolution, people began to think of themselves as citizens and not just subjects of a king. And this made flags representations of the collective citizens versus just the power of the ruler.
Yeah, that's cool.
Amy, do you know what the study of flags, their history and symbolism and use is called?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I do.
Really? This would be a good trivia question. Tim, if you're listening, throw us
in. I'm not going to lie to you. It's not coming to me, but I know it because it was on the Big Bang Theory.
Oh. Vexillology.
Vexillology. Fun with Flags is Sheldon's series on the Big Bang Theory, and they talk about that.
Oh, nice. A vexillologist designed flags, and the art of designing flags is called vexillography. Vexillography? That's a hard one to say. If you are just a hobbyist or admirer of flags, you are a vexophile.
I'm not going to lie to you. The more you say vex, it sounds scandalous. Slightly spicy flags.
Vexillophile, maybe? If I don't know. I had to practice one, so hopefully I'm mostly getting it right. Okay, so the American flag. The first iteration of the flag was in 1775, called the Continental Colors, and it was displayed at the camp of commanding officer General George Washington.
Is it the one with the circles of 13 stars?
I don't think it was that one yet, no. Wikipedia has a very nice page where they have images of the entire history of flags. You can see from the first all the way down. So the first flag had red and white stripes that represented the 13 colonies, but in the corner, instead of stars, it had the Union Jack flag. The Union Jack is the British flag, the red and white X with kind of the cross and the blue background. So it was a combination of the British flag, and then we added in the colonies. Sure,
which makes sense for the time.
Right. Interesting fact, Amy, like you brought up earlier, it is disputed that Betsy Ross sewed the first American flag. Some believe the flag was designed in New Jersey by Congressman Francis Hopkinson. The family of Rebecca Young claimed that she sewed the first flag. Young's daughter was Mary Pickersgill, who made the Star Spangled Banner flag. She was assisted by Grace Wisher, a 13-year-old African-American girl.
Wow.
So it's one of those things where we're not 100% sure, and it could be a couple different possibilities. I also read somewhere that Betsy Ross was just among the seamstresses who worked on the first flag.
Sure.
On June 14th, 1777, the Continental Congress passed an act establishing an official flag for the new nation. The resolution stated, "Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation."
Cute.
Yeah. 1795, the flag is updated to 15 stars and 15 stripes to include Vermont and Kentucky.
Oh, so we added stripes.
Yeah. In 1814, Francis Scott Key writes the four-stanza poem, The Star-Spangled Banner, which would become the official national anthem of the United States in 1931.
I learned this year, at least learned might be a strong word, but I have heard this year that very few countries display patriotism the same way we do. I know Canada has a national anthem. We do. I know other countries have national anthems, but they don't. They're not as elaborate of a part of their societal structure as ours.
Correct. I have also read that Americans go pretty hard for the flag and representing their country. I've heard that as well.
Yeah.
In 1818, the flag is updated to be 13 stripes and 20 stars. the 13 stripes would remain, so that's not going to change anymore. And then from 1818 to 1960, the stars would be updated to reflect the number of states. And then after 1960, we had all the states, and it hasn't changed since.
Right. Isn't that crazy to think that 1960 was the last time that happened?
It is just crazy to think that in our parents' lifetime, the flag has changed.
Yeah.
It's weird. Fun fact, Hawaii was the last star added in 1960. Also fun fact, because we are Michigan girls, Amy, Michigan was added in 1837, and it was the 26th star.
That's delightful.
The longest-serving flag, excluding the current 50-star flag, was the 48-star flag before Alaska and Hawaii were added. So that flag served from 1912 until 1959.
So Alaska was 59 and Hawaii was 60.
Yes, Amy, you are correct. Alaska was added in 1959, Hawaii was added in 1960, and it hasn't changed since.
Nice.
Prior to the Civil War, the American flag was rarely seen outside of military forts, government buildings, and ships. This changed following the Battle of Fort Sumner in 1861. The flag flying over the fort was allowed to leave with the Union troops as they surrendered. It was taken across northern cities, which spurred a wave of flag mania. Amy, this might kind of answer your question. The Stars and Stripes, which had no real place in the public consciousness, suddenly became part of the national identity. The flag became a symbol of the Union, and the sale of flags exploded at this time. Historian Adam Goodhart wrote, so this is a quote, "For the first time, American flags were mass-produced rather than individually stitched, and even so, manufacturers cannot keep up with demand. As the long winter of 1861 turned into spring, that old flag meant something new. The abstraction of the Union cause was transfigured into a physical thing, strips of cloth that millions of people would fight for and many thousands die for."
Wow.
Yeah, so our obsession with flags started in 1861.
Sure. It's a good point. Million people have fought for it, millions of people have fought for it, and millions have died.
Exactly. In the Civil War, the flag was allowed to be carried into battle, reversing the 1847 regulation, which prohibited that. During the American War of Independence and the War of 1812, the Army was not officially sanctioned to carry the United States flag into battle. It was not until 1834 that the artillery was allowed to carry the American flag. The Army would be granted to do the same in 1841. However, in 1847, in the middle of the war with Mexico, the flag was limited to camp use and not allowed to be brought into battle. Some wanted to remove the stars of the states, which had succeeded, but Abraham Lincoln was opposed, believing it would give legitimacy to the Confederate states. So he wanted to keep them on, because if you're like, oh no, we're taking you off, they're like, hell yeah, let us be free.
Yeah. Honestly, good call.
It was a good call. In 1963, the American flag was placed on the top of Mount Everest by Barry Bishop. In 1969, astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin placed the American flag on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
Other names for the flag are the Stars and Stripes, Red, White, and Blue, Old Glory, and the Star-Spangled Banner.
Delightful.
The flag is a 10 to 19 ratio.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Just fun fact there. Yeah.
You know, I often ask myself, what is the flag's ratio? That really helped.
Now we know. If it comes up in trivia, it's a 10 to 19 ratio.
I really hope that all of a sudden there's random flag trivia on this episode, and we're going to be like, bam, 10 to 19.
You know what would be hysterical is just if Tim and his partner that he hosts with just listen to a bunch of our episodes and then quiz us on our own knowledge, and we just bombed it.
Tim, if you're listening, please don't do that. Because I can barely retain, literally this morning, I could probably tell you stuff about license plates, though.
Oh, onward. There have been many, many meanings given to the colors chosen for the flag, but one interpretation attributed to George Washington says, "We take the stars from heaven, the red from our mother country, separating it by white stripes, thus showing that we have separated from her. The white stripes shall go down to prosperity, representing our liberty."
Okay.
Standard color reference for America, 10th edition. A set of dyed silk fabric samples produced by the Color Association of the United States says that the colors are white, number 70001, Old Glory Red, number 70180, and Old Glory Blue, number 70075.
Mm.
So there are your official colors. Traditionally, the flag may be decorated with gold fringe surrounding the perimeter of the flag, as long as it does not deface the flag proper.
Mm, that's a good rule.
Yeah. Okay. So now let's get into what started this whole journey. Let's talk about proper flag etiquette. Now, I also have to share an early fun fact, but I am on the architectural board for my HOA, at least as of right now I am. I don't know how much longer my term is. And when we were updating the neighborhood guidelines, I made sure to include proper flag etiquette.
Nice.
So now it is part of the rules you have to follow if you live in my subdivision.
Good job. Way to wield your authority positively.
Yes, because you're allowed to display an American flag, but they didn't have any other rules set around it, which was wrong. I mean, I assume that they were just assuming that people would know how to do it.
Well, clearly the girl in the Girl Scouts did not.
Did not. And I've seen people around. I don't know that any particular my like actual neighbors doing it wrong, but just to be safe, I added it in. So for the sake of time, I obviously can't go through everything about the rules and regulations of the flag. But I'll touch on some important main points, especially if you're someone who flies a flag at their home.
Mm-hmm.
So first off, we've touched on this. It should not be allowed to touch the ground ever.
Ever.
If it's flown at night, it needs to be illuminated. If it's an all-weather flag, which most are nowadays, you can leave it outside during inclement weather. But if it's not an all-weather flag, so like nylon or something, it should be brought in during inclement weather. The flag needs to be repaired or replaced if the edges become tattered.
Yep.
When a flag is so tattered that it can no longer serve as a symbol of the U.S., it should be destroyed in a dignified manner, preferably by burning. And the American Legion and other organizations regularly conduct flag retirement ceremonies that you could take your flag in for.
Yes.
However, the Boy Scouts of America recommend that modern nylon or polyester flags be recycled instead of burned, because burning those fabrics could give off hazardous gases.
Right.
I'm sure you could look into local stuff for flag recycling.
Yes.
Interesting. The flag code prohibits using the flag for any advertising purposes and also states that the flag should not be embroidered, printed, or otherwise impressed on such articles as cushions, handkerchiefs, napkins, boxes, or anything intended to be discarded after temporary use.
Hmm.
But both of these codes are generally ignored, almost without any comment by anybody.
Sure. How are you going to police that?
Yeah, exactly. Section 8, which is entitled Respect for the Flag, states that, in part, the flag should never be used as wearing apparel, bedding, or drapery, and no part of the flag should ever be used as costume or athletic uniform.
Ooh.
Obviously, this also goes ignored a lot.
Yeah.
Another rule is the flag should never be carried flat or horizontally, but always aloft and free.
Okay.
Although flag code in the U.S. is federal law, there's no penalty for a private citizen or group failing to comply with the flag code. And it is not widely enforced. Like you said, Amy, how would they police that?
Right.
I just thought was interesting. When the flag is affixed to the right side of a vehicle of any kind, cars, boats, planes, anything that moves, it should be oriented so that the canton is toward the front of the vehicle, so the stars.
Yep.
Towards the front of the vehicle, as if the flag were streaming backwards from the vehicle as it moves forward.
I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
But also, based on the orientation of the flag, wouldn't it have to be? Because otherwise the flag would be backward.
Well, if it's on the right side of your vehicle, it's going to look backwards. So
on the right side of your vehicle.
Yeah.
I understand. Okay.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. So yeah, you're supposed to have it backwards so that it looks like it's flowing as you move forward.
Sure. Hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On some U.S. military uniforms, flag patches are worn on the right shoulder, so following the same convention, the stars are towards the front.
So that when they're walking, they can billow.
This rule dates back to the Army's early history when mounted cavalry and infantry units would designate a standard bearer who carries the color into battle. As he charged, his forward motion caused the flag to stream backwards. Since the stars and stripes are mounted with the canton closest to the pole, that section stays to the right while the stripes flew to the left.
Yes. Okay. It's the orientation. Got it.
Mm-hmm. The flag should be displayed at full staff unless proclaimed by the president or governor. There is no prohibition against municipal governments, private businesses, or citizens flying the flag at half staff as a local sign of respect and mourning. So if a person in your local area who is highly respected passes, the local people can decide to fly it at half staff.
Yes.
However, many flag enthusiasts feel that this type of practice has somewhat diminished the meaning of the original intent of the lowered flag to honor those who held high positions in federal or state offices.
Oh, well, I think if it's a way to show respect.
Right, exactly. To properly fly the flag at half staff, one should first briefly hoist it to the top of the staff, then lower it to the half staff position, halfway between the top and bottom of the staff. Similarly, when the flag is to be lowered from half staff, it should first be briefly hoisted to the top and then lowered all the way down.
Oh.
Federal statutes provide that the flag should be flown at half staff on the following dates. So these are the federal dates for always half staff. May 15th, which is Peace Officers Memorial Day. Unless it's the third Saturday in May, Armed Forces Day, then full staff.
Okay.
Last Monday in May, so Memorial Day, at least until noon.
Mm-hmm.
September 11th, Patriots Day. First Sunday in October, which is the start of Fire Prevention Week to honor the National Fallen Firefighters Memorial Service. December 7th, National Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. For 30 days after the death of a president or former president. For 10 days following the death of a vice president, Supreme Court justice, either serving or retired, or Speaker of the House of Representatives. From the death until the day of internment for Supreme Court Associate Justice, member of the Cabinet, former Vice President, President pro tempore of the Senate, or the majority and minority leaders for the Senate and House of Representatives. Also for the federal facilities with the state or territory for the governor.
So just a few days.
Yeah, a few days. On the day after death of senators, members of Congress, territorial delegates, or the resident commissioner of the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico.
There you go.
Though not part of official flag code, according to military custom, flags should be folded into a triangular shape when not in use. There's tutorials online. You can look up how to do it. All right. Let's end with just some interesting flag flax. Oh my God, that's hard to say. Flag flax.
I think you should end with flag flax.
Flag facts. And these are just general flag facts. They're not just about the U.S. flag. The most recognizable flags, and I got this from a couple different sources, so this is not in order, but the most recognizable ones from around the world are the UK, the United States, and Canada.
Oh.
Others that ranked top were France, China, Japan, Germany.
Yep.
And Amy, I was going to quiz you on what the flags look like. What? How are we doing on time here? Oh, we're getting long. Okay. Well, maybe just a few because it's fun. All right, Amy, can you describe the Canadian flag?
Maple. It's a red maple leaf on a white background with red stripes on either end.
Amy, beautiful, beautiful. Well done.
Thank you.
What about France?
I think it's blue with stars on it.
Ooh, close. Blue, white, and red, just big, thick
stripes.
Horizontal stripes. Not horizontal. Vertical stripes.
Yeah.
Do you know what the Japanese flag looks like?
Yeah, it's white with a big red circle.
Ding, ding. Yes. What about the German flag? At least the colors.
I think it's German. I don't know. Irish is green, white, and orange.
Yeah, that's correct. Germany is black, red, and yellow.
Okay. Nope. I didn't know that. I think I knew that, okay. But I couldn't pull it together.
Yeah. Pretty good, Amy. Pretty good. All right. A few more fun facts and we'll wrap this up. So Nepal is the only flag that doesn't have four sides. It looks like if you took two triangular, you know, pennant shapes. Yes. Yeah. And stack them on top of each other.
That's cool.
Yeah. There are two square flags, Switzerland and the Vatican City. And the Vatican City is actually its own country.
Yes, I did know that.
And I've actually been there. Whoop, whoop.
That's very cool.
Purple is the rarest color on a flag. And it's only on two national flags, Nicaragua and Dominica.
Oh, that's cool. Solid color choice. Very unique.
I know. Well, and we may have talked about this somewhere before. If not, I think it's a pretty common fact, but purple was rarely used way back in the day because it was such a hard color to dye.
Yeah.
And to create the dye for.
It's still a hard color for consistency.
Yeah. And so because it was so hard to do, it was often only associated with royalty.
Yeah.
Denmark is the oldest national flag in the world. It was first used in 1625. However, the design of it is said to date back to 1219.
Oh, dang.
So It is red with white that looks like a Christian crucifix on its side.
Okay.
Well, there you go, Amy. That's everything you need to know about flags, the American flag, and how to properly display one if you have one.
That was a very fun time. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Do with that what you will.
Thanks for letting us talk at you.
If you have any comments, corrections, suggestions, or fun facts, you can email us at 24hourexpert@gmail.com. Spell out all the words. It's also our website, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us there.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to 24-Hour Expert. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe so you'll be notified of future episodes.
Our theme song is Moonroof by Paula.